Matthew 12, 34. Be very practical tonight. I hope it'll be a help to you. I hope it'll be a help to me, to all of us, really. Verse number 34, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I want to focus tonight. We're going to turn to a lot of passages, and I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself much of this service. But if you look at verse number 34, the last part of this verse says, For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I want to talk to you tonight about we live in a society where we're losing the ability to communicate one with another. And I will say this, our young people, I feel like our young people are going to be in great turmoil 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. I've told this in the marriage class several times. I'll say it again here. We'll go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. But these days, young people learn to communicate everything via text message or Facebook or by tweeting it out or something of that sort. Okay? And one of these days when these young folks get married, you can imagine the scenario. The husband and wife have a conflict. The husband goes to one end of the house and the wife goes to the other end of the house, and they begin to text each other, or they begin to tweet each other, or send each other messages through Facebook. And I'm going to tell you something. They will not resolve their problems that way. Okay? And I want to talk to you. This is going to cover a broad range of things. I'm getting you thinking there. I mean, you know how it is when you walk into a restaurant and you're trying to deal with young people today. We're dealing with a generation that's grown up on video games and technology, and they don't understand that really the only way you can work through a lot of problems is face-to-face conversation. Because I need to see your body language. I need to see your countenance. I need to hear your tone of voice. I need to see what your eyes are doing. All that stuff helps us. And a lot of times, if you're doing it through, and you know this, everybody in this room knows this, we've all gotten emails before and we thought, I can't believe they'd say that. And then we ask them about it and they say, well, that's not what I meant at all. Right? And a lot of that's cleared up when we see each other, but we need to learn how to communicate with each other. This will help us in our homes. It'll help us at church. It'll help us at work. It'll help us everywhere with your families, extended families. And so I want the Lord's help. Just today, I don't even remember what it was. It wasn't anything overly important, but I said something to my wife and she said, well, couldn't you have said that a different way? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess we're probably good. And you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's saying, see, you're studying to preach on something, and the Lord's going to show you that you don't have it all nailed down yet. And I guarantee you, nobody in this room has your communication nailed down quite yet. We all could grow in this area, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I need your help. You know that. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say what's right. I pray you'd help me to say it in the right spirit. Lord, I pray you'd help it to be received. Lord, I want to glorify you tonight. And I want to help your people. Lord, these are good people. And people who love me and people whom I love. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a help to them tonight. I pray you'd help me to help the young people in this room who are growing up in a society that is anti-communication, even though it boasts its communication skills. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to all under the sound of my voice tonight. Lord, I need your strength. And Lord, I'm a bit emotional tonight. I pray you'd strengthen me. And you know what I need and you know what the people need. And thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to stand and teach and preach your word. And I pray that we'd leave here tonight saying that it was not a waste of our time, but was beneficial, was profitable for us, perhaps even doctrinally, but certainly practically. Lord, I pray you'd use me tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. One of the first things you have to do if you're going to be able to effectively communicate with other people is you have to recognize where your words come from. We all say things like, I slipped up, I accidentally said, you know, those kind of things. But the truth is, that's not accurate. Okay? That is not accurate. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Please, if at all possible tonight, keep up, turn into the passages. Let's look at things because I want you to get these principles. I am not coming to you tonight, as I said, as one that has it all nailed down, that's an expert on the subject matter, because I am far from an expert in this particular subject, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For that righteous man," talking about Lot, says, "that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, you know where we're heading in a moment with this, but I want to kind of give you something to think about ahead of time, is that before something is in your heart, you have to let it get there. Okay? Something, you've heard the messages preached, and I think it was John Bunyan that wrote Holy War and talked about the gates and man's soul and all that stuff, and what a wonderful picture it is. But the idea is that I have gates that I can either keep stuff out or I can let it in. It's my choice. All right? Seeing and hearing, the Bible says, he vexed his righteous soul. So, and there are other gates. We won't talk about them all tonight. But things you see, they enter the eye gate and they go to your heart. Okay? And if you're not careful, they'll stay there and sometimes they'll grow. And sometimes what you see is not real. You say, well, if I see it, it's real. No, hold on. Sometimes we think we see something, but that's not really what we saw. But our mind interprets it based on what we think we saw, and so we begin to run with that. When my wife and I were dating, I remember her, I think it was then, I remember her brother calling her and saying, "Hey, I just saw Drew with another woman." It's true. It was my mom. But he saw something, and so he did what a good brother should have done. He made a call to his sister and said, "Hey, this guy's a bum." And you know, if only they knew then what they know now. But we got to be careful, because things enter the eye gate and they go to the heart, and we can begin to build on them and make something that's not real. We got to be careful about that. Sometimes you'll see an expression on somebody's face, and you'll think, "Well, that person's mad at me." And so you begin to build this huge case that person hates your guts. And the truth is, the person didn't feel well that day. Sick. You see what I'm saying? We've got to be careful. Okay? But what you see and what you hear goes to your heart. And there we have new problems. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. There are times that things will enter your eyes and your ears that are not necessarily wicked when they enter there, but your heart is good about turning things into wicked things. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse number 19. The Bible says this, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." You realize, I hope you realize, that before an individual, I mean, just today, I don't know how many of you heard in the news, I guess some things going on out in California. I think they said there were three men is what they think, but they went in and began shooting up a building. And when the cops caught them in one area, and they began shooting through the SUV at the police officers. And before someone decides to murder someone physically, the sin of murder has already been committed in the heart. You see what I'm saying? It starts in the heart. Now, are you saying, well, they might as well go ahead and go through with it? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying these things begin in our hearts. Husband and wife gets in a fight at home, and the wife says to the husband, "I hate you." And the husband says, "Well, I hate you too." And then afterwards, everybody's all chummy, and you think, well, that was no big deal. It is a big deal. Because those words came from somewhere. Okay? They came from somewhere. And the Bible tells us that in the heart, there's all these wicked things. I mean, evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts. And listen, you say, well, this is horrible. Yeah, but let's look at it from a different perspective. And that is this, that the Lord gives us an opportunity to get some things right from the mind to working whatever we're thinking about. There's a window of opportunity for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I'm thinking that horrible thing, but I'm not going to do that horrible thing. Isn't that a blessing? That's a warning. And we need to pray that God would help us to see those warning signs earlier and earlier. Turn with me, if you will, while we're here. Just stay here. Matthew 15, look at verse number 8. All right, the Bible says, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So, okay, we've got these horrible things going on in our hearts. And the Bible says another thing we need to consider is there are times we can say things with our lips that are not what's in our heart, but it sounds good. It sounds like the right thing's coming out, but our heart deceives us into saying these things to make us feel better, to appease our conscience, if you will. Now look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. If you're ever going to fix your troubles in communication, you've got to understand that words come from your heart. You know, we say, well, from the bottom of my heart, I promise. Well, that's kind of crazy, because the truth is everything we say comes from the heart. If you say a curse word, let me just put it this way, no Christian should ever curse, right? I mean, isn't that true? But there are Christians, let me put it this way, there are Christians who grew up in rough backgrounds who've heard curse words their whole lives, and it might be a little bit more difficult for them to stop cursing than it is for someone who grew up in a Christian home who never heard any cursing. Okay? So we've got to consider that. But keep this in mind. If a curse word exits your lips, it was still in your heart. Okay? Matthew 12, verse 34 says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So if I'm going to fix my problems with communicating, if I'm not speaking to my wife like I ought to speak to her, and if I'm not speaking to my children like I ought to speak to them, and it happens from time to time, it does, it truly does, then the first thing I've got to do is not work on my communication, I've got to work on my heart. I've got to fix, here's what we're doing, okay? Here's what we're doing oftentimes in this country. It'd be like you go to the doctor and the doctor says you've got cancer. And you say, well, doc, that's bad news, what I do? And he says, well, put a Band-Aid on it. Now, any of us in this room, if we went to a doctor and the doctor said we've got cancer and he said the answer is put a Band-Aid on it, we would never go see that doctor again. We'd go to another doctor to make sure he was even right about the first thing. But in the Christian life, we think the best thing, well, I'm not going to say that anymore. Well, that's putting a Band-Aid on the cancer. The problem is your heart. You've got to repent and get things right with the Lord and say, Lord, and you might not even know it's there. The Bible says the heart's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. We know that. Jeremiah 17:9. My heart will deceive me. And so I've got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't even know that was in my heart. I'm sorry that it's there. Please help me get that out so that I stop this communication. You see what I'm saying? It's not just my mouth. It goes deeper than that. It's my heart. Children, let's be a blessing to the parents here for a moment. If little Eric, and I don't know that he does, but if he does, if his dad says to him, son, go do this, and he has an attitude problem and says something back to his dad, it's not just that he said something. A lot of times we as parents, we try to say, don't you ever talk to me like that again, but the problem's deeper. Because it was in his heart, whether he ever said it or didn't say it, it was in his heart, and that's where the problem is. And so often, we as Christians, we've got to be careful about this, especially preachers. Preachers are real bad about this. We try to make sure the outward is such where everybody around us thinks we have perfect children. Now, I've tried to be an open book with you all. You all know I don't have perfect children, okay? I've tried to communicate things to you and let you say we're not perfect parents. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. I've tried to be an open book to you. I've tried to say I'm doing my best to be an example to you, but I'm not perfect. And my children aren't perfect. And I don't expect my children to be perfect. Okay? I make allowances that they are people just like your children are people. Okay? And sometimes we try to fix the outward appearance and make sure don't talk like that in front of people. Don't do that in front of people. But we've got to be careful. It's got to go deeper than that. It shouldn't even be in your heart. Okay? So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to fix the heart problem. Now, once we fix the heart problem, we've got to begin to speak that which is true. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. You say, well, this is the solution to the whole thing right here. Just start telling the truth all the time. Well, not quite. All right, not quite. That brings with it its own set of dangers. Your wife sets something on the table and says, honey, was that good? And you say, it was the most horrific thing I have ever eaten in my life. How's that for communication? You say, well, that's exactly what you ought. Yeah, okay. Only the unmarried in the room are saying, that is a good idea. I'm going to write that down. And you'll stay unmarried. All right, Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 7. The Bible says this, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. So I'm going to start speaking that which is true. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 31. Proverbs 10, verse number 31. I'm getting my heart right. I want my heart to be right before the Lord and clean and pure. And now I'm going to tell what's true and what's right and what's holy. I'm going to speak those things. Verse number 31 of Proverbs 10 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. So the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. I want to speak that which is right, that which is wise, that which is holy. I'll look at Proverbs 12 and verse number 19. Proverbs 12 and verse number 19, the Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Do you realize the hardest thing to tell is a lie? Because you have to remember the lie that you told. And then you have to tell another lie to take care of the first lie. And then you've got to tell another lie to take care of lie number one and lie number two. And you're going to be lying for as long as that tongue of yours will work until you finally say, I'm just going to tell the truth. And let me tell you, children, something. The consequences are much, much less if you will just tell the truth the first time. Who broke that? I did. You say, well, I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, you're going to get in trouble when the others conspire against you to let it be known that you did it. And it's going to be much worse. Tell the truth. Speak that which is true. And listen, husbands and wives, when you're communicating with one another, if you've got something going on in your heart and mind, speak it. Speak the truth. Don't lie about it. Tell what's true. Verse number 22 of the same chapter says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. All right, so as we begin to grow and we're trying to get things right and we're trying to make sure we're doing a good job of this, we're recognizing words come from my heart, so I better make sure my heart's right and my heart better be pure and I better not have hatred in there or bitterness or wrath or envy and all that stuff, because if I do, it's going to come out, right? And it might be this way. Let's say I'm upset at Noah about something, and Noah's really offended me about something, and it's just in my heart I'm angry with him. And then Hannah was to come up and say something, and I'm gonna yell at Hannah because I've got anger or bitterness in my heart toward Noah. All right, and here's where we got to be careful. You go to work, something bad goes on at work, and you get upset about it. But you're not going to chew them out. You might lose your job. And so what you're going to do is you're going to get in your automobile and you're going to come home and you're going to step in the door and your wife's going to say, hey, you're 15 minutes late. What happened? And boom, here she goes. Oh, yeah, woman, you think, you know, and she hasn't done anything.
And she might be saying you're 15 minutes late because she prepared your favorite meal and had it there when you normally get home and it was waiting and now it's cold and she's disappointed and on and on and on. But now you're going to fly off the handle and be bitter at her because you're really bitter at somebody else. And when that stuff's in your heart, it will come out and it'll destroy people. And listen, I have to guard against this. There are preachers all across this country that are getting up in the pulpit mad. And they're destroying people. And maybe I'm a compromiser, and you feel free to call me that. You're not going to upset me or hurt my feelings or anything of the sort. But I know when I first started preaching, I cared a lot less about how my words affected people than I do today. Okay? And I want to grow in that area. So we want to speak what's true, but we've all had people tell us what's right and hurt us. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. The more we grow, yes, we're going to still speak the truth, but we're also going to consider the audience. Turn with me, if you will. We're real close here. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 32. Proverbs 10, verse number 32. Sometimes we as preachers, we get real excited about, making people mad. And, you know, the more people you had mad, the better service it was and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of that goes on in independent Baptist churches, I know, and I've been guilty of it. I remember preaching one message. It wasn't here, but it was another church. And after the service, I had a line of people wanting to talk to me, frustrated with some of the things that I said. Now, did I say some things right? Probably so. Did I say them in the right spirit? I'm not so sure. Were they ready to hear them? Probably not. And you got to consider all those things. Proverbs 10, verse number 32. The Bible says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." That's a pretty deep thought, isn't it? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. You say, well, that's acceptable to the Lord. Maybe it is. Maybe it's also what's acceptable to the hearer. Let's move on. Look at Proverbs 10, verse number 11. I was going to say something else there, but I'm going to leave it. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. You can get life when he speaks. There's some hope there. There's some benefit there. Look at verse 21 of the same chapter. The lips of the righteous feed many. So before I speak, I ought to consider, how is this going to benefit the ones that hear it? Proverbs 11, verse 9, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Proverbs 15, look at verse number 23. Proverbs 15, verse 23, the Bible says here, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it?" We need to consider the effect of our words. Look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and look at verse number 26. This is talking about, of course, the virtuous woman. And what a wonderful passage this is. Proverbs 31, verse 26, the Bible says, and let me just state this, what a wonderful thing. Sometimes preachers can use the pulpit as a bully pulpit when it comes to women. All right, I think we'd all agree with that. But you know, when the Lord had something like this done for women, you know it came from a woman's mouth. Just a thought. I think the Lord knew what He was doing. When as somebody needed to describe a virtuous woman, it was a woman who did so. Verse number 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom," and I love this, "and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Kindness. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So the more we grow in this thing, we begin to get our hearts right, because we want to say what's right. We want to say what's holy. We don't want to say anything that is associated with adulteries or fornications or murder or hatred or anger or wrath or envy or We don't want those things creeping from our hearts to our mouths and hurting the people that we love the most. Okay, so we begin to get our heart right. We say, you know what, I'm going to speak the truth. But then we learn another lesson. That sometimes if you just speak the unbridled truth, you're mowing down as many people as you were when you were spreading these other things. And so you say, wait a minute, I got to fix that. And you say, well, what do I do, start lying? No, I'm not telling you to lie. You've got to speak that which is true. But the more you grow, you begin to say, you know what, it's not important that I just get across this point or say what I think or say what I feel. I also need to consider, how am I going to affect the person hearing what I'm saying? And we begin to care about the people we're talking to. Okay, now this is not like the most superior position, though this is we're growing. Now we actually care about the people we're talking to, and we're not just trying to mow people down with our words. That is actually growth. It's not the end. Because now it becomes a danger because I might not say something I really need to say because I'm going to hurt somebody. It's tough, isn't it? This is a tough place to be. And here's the problem. None of us in this room are God. And we don't always know when people are ready or not ready or whether they should hear this now or they shouldn't hear this now. We don't always have all that. And so we want to grow. We want to consider the audience. But now we need to go a step further. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, none of this takes into account the wisdom, and I do think it is a wise thing to learn to keep your words few. And I think that's something we could all grow in. The Bible says when a fool holdeth his lips or his peace, I can't remember what it says, but he's counted wise. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Okay? So there are times we need to learn just to shut our mouths and walk away. And there's wisdom in that. We're talking about when we actually communicate things, how do we want to do it according to God's will and God's plan. Romans 15, look at verse number 6. Romans 15, 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth, here it is, glorify God. When we've reached the peak on this thing and we're growing, so here we are, we're growing. I've learned, okay, words come from my heart. Before they get in my heart, I've got to let them in some way, somehow. So whatever I'm letting in is causing problems in my heart. Maybe it's something I let in years ago and it's still dwelling there and I need to get that out. I need to get that right. But we get our hearts right. We begin to speak the truth. And then we learn, you know what? Sometimes I'm hurting people by telling the whole truth and just, you know, shooting straight at them. So now I've got to learn, okay, I need to consider the people hearing what I'm saying. Remember the Apostle Paul said, there were things I want to say to you, but you're not ready for them right now. Okay? That wasn't Paul lying to him. He said, there's things that I want to say, and I think you need to hear them, but right now is just not the time. You're not there yet. I've got to speak unto you as unto babes, as unto carnal. I can't say everything that I think you need to hear. One day you will, okay? And there are things that we need to say that right now is just not the time. And so we learn to speak the truth, but we learn also to consider the audience. Is the audience ready? Am I going to hurt the audience? Am I going to help the audience? Is this going to minister grace to the hearers? Am I going to help somebody by saying this? Or am I going to help somebody more by holding on? Just wait. Just stop. But then we begin to say, you know, now it's difficult because sometimes I'm withholding things that really ought to be said. And you say, what's the end answer? The end answer is we need to make sure everything we say brings glory to God. And there were times when the Apostle Paul said things that in the beginning hurt the people who heard them, who heard what he said. But he said, I'm not sorry that you were made sorry after a godly sort. Did I make you sorry? Yes. But it led to repentance. And look what's come out of that. And so we've got to make sure you say, well, this is too much. I mean, don't you feel that way sometimes? Well, how am I going to do this? Okay, somebody's going to ask me a question, and I'm going to have to say, could you hold on a minute? I've got to pray about this. What's so wrong with that? What's wrong with waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, I need you to guide my mouth. Help me to, you know, help me. I could wake up every morning and say, Lord, help me to talk to my wife in a way that would be a blessing to her, that would glorify you, that would instruct my children on how, instruct my son on how to talk to his wife one day. Maybe that's the answer. But we could all work on this. Okay, every one of us in this room. I know some in this room you'd say, well, I've got a temper. And some of you say, well, I don't have much of a temper. But we all have moments and times where we say things and we say, I wish I could go back. I wish I could hit rewind. But see, that's the problem with life. Life is not a video game. It's not a TV show. It's not your favorite movie. You can't hit the rewind button and go back and take it back. And let me say this, too. If I said something to Brother Eric White that hurt him, and I said, I'm sorry. Okay, that's good. That's a good step. But that still doesn't erase that I said it. It still doesn't solve the whole problem. Sure, I feel better because I've apologized and I did what was right in apologizing. But he's not all of a sudden, just because I said I'm sorry, thinking, okay, hey, great, we'll move on in life. He may say that to me, but deep down in his heart, he may say, well, why did he even say it in the first place? You see what I'm saying? If you come back and say, well, I didn't mean it. Well, if you didn't mean it, then why did you say it? You see what I'm saying? Now, listen, I try to watch out for filler words, and I'm catching myself these days, and I've got a phrase, and some of you may have these, Robin Newman might have marks on my filler words on this, but here's something I'm catching myself saying more and more as I get older. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you been keeping track of that? Did you all see that? She about lost it when I said that. Honey, you're supposed to tell me. Communication, dear. But do you know why I say that? Because more and more I'm concerned that people comprehend what I'm trying to communicate. Because I know this. A lot of times I come across a certain way, and I'm trying to make sure that I don't come across in ways I don't want to. I don't like, and sometimes I do this with my children, they'll ask me a question, I come out with the blunt answer, just straight to the point. We call that being Yankee. But I've caught myself that I've hurt my children at times doing that. And I did it recently and I caught myself and I said, I'm so sorry, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to be that way. I want to make sure that my children know that I care about them. I want my wife to know that I care about her. I want you folks to know that I do care about you and that you all are important to me and that I care about your well-being. I care about your spiritual walk with God. And there are times, I'm sure in the past, some of you walked out of here and said, oh my goodness, he is the meanest person that we've ever met in our life. And I remember Pastor Reagan saying the problem's going to be he's going to run some people off because he's just kind of mean. And I remember that. And I want to communicate in a way that brings glory to my Savior. I want to glorify Him. I want to glorify Him with my mouth. And so at times, y'all ask me questions, and I don't give you quick answers. Because I want to make sure I'm doing what's right. And I want you to make sure you're doing what's right. And listen, in your homes, husbands and wives, you better make sure that you're speaking to each other in a way that glorifies God and ministers to each other. Because if you don't, not only are you going to hurt your spouse, but you're going to hurt your children who are going to do the same thing in their generation. Your boys will speak to their wives the way you speak to your wife. Your daughters will speak to their husbands in the way in which you speak to your husband. We better make sure that we're glorifying God with our communication. Let's stand. Father, thank you for this group of folks that have come out tonight, took time out of their schedules to be in the meeting house. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for their constant faithfulness. Lord, what an encouragement it is to me. Lord, how difficult it would be to stand and preach tonight with no one here. And Lord, you've sent plenty of folks this way. Thank you so much for doing that, Lord. You're so good to me. Lord, I pray you'd help me to grow. And I'm glad you reminded me even again today that I've got plenty of room to grow. And thank you, Lord, for the lessons that you give me along the way. Lord, I've not arrived. I'm not sinless by any stretch of the imagination. Lord, I love you, and I do want to please you, and I want to be a good man. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to be that. I pray you're working on our hearts tonight. No doubt many folks in this room understand that we're all guilty when it comes to this matter of communicating. And I pray we wouldn't take it lightly. Lord, this very thing that was taught and preached tonight, it could be the difference maker between a couple that stays married or that gets divorced, between someone that keeps a job or loses a job, between someone keeping a friend or losing a friend. A lot of things hang in the balance based upon what we allow to enter our heart and then exit our mouths. Lord, I pray you work in us tonight. We'll be sure to give you the glory for it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you would, just play something softly, please. If the Lord dealt with your heart tonight and you want to ask him to help you, why don't you just make your way up here and kneel before him and say, Lord, I need your help when it comes to my communication. As she plays, you be obedient.